Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, my name is Phyllis Forimoto, and I'm here to host Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. My life with Reiki started when I was a child. My grandmother used to come visit, and she would lay on the floor and have me sit on the floor beside her and put my hands on her. Of course, I didn't know what the hand positions were. There was no speaking about this, anyway, that I can remember. And she would just have me move my hands in different places, and pretty soon I was able to go play again, which was really great for me. All through my childhood and my teenage years, Reiki was just something that she did, and I didn't really know much about it. Then, when I was 27, my life was pretty much of a mess, and my grandmother asked me if I wanted to come and take some lessons with her, so I did. But again, I didn't have any idea or any way to put what she was telling me into some kind of context. So I didn't know what it was about still then. And I learned the symbols from her for second degree, and I began to send her treatments. That was the extent of my practice. When I was 30, I was having a party for myself up in the mountains in Colorado where I lived, and there was a time when I decided to just go away from the group of people and the bonfire and stand out in this meadow and look at the stars in this beautiful, beautiful high altitude sky. And when I did that, I realized that I had thought that I would not live to be 30. And so I decided that I would have fun, which I did until I was 30 years old. And then I decided on that night that I needed to find something that would really speak to me in my life. I had studied psychology when I was in college, and human beings interested me very much. But the individuality of human beings really interested me. And I was very upset by how doctors prescribed and diagnosed patients, and then their patients became not people, but a diagnosis. And the treatment for that diagnosis just followed a regime. It didn't really speak to the individual needs of each person. So when I was out there in that meadow, I decided that I wanted to find something that would celebrate individuality, that would allow me to encourage people to find who they were and to nourish that very unique seed inside each one of us. Then I went back to the party, and I basically forgot about this particular incident until a few years later. Meanwhile, 2 months later, my mother called me and said, "Your grandmother Takata is going on a teaching trip, and she needs help, and you must go with her." So I pondered this question for a very long time. I had lots of conversations on the phone, and eventually even went back to Iowa to meet with my mother and my grandmother and my father to see why I needed to go and if this was really what I wanted to do. Finally, 5 months later, my grandmother calls and says, "I have to buy the tickets now. Decide." My roommate at the time called from another room in the house and said, "If you don't like it, you can always come home." I guess I thought I had a back door. So I said yes. And 4 weeks later, I was on a plane back to Iowa, and I met my grandmother for 3 days. At that time, she initiated me as a master, and we flew off to Puerto Rico, our first port of call. The first moment that we landed in Puerto Rico, someone came to meet us, And she took us out to the car where this man with multiple sclerosis was driving, which was pretty exciting for me. And he was driving this huge old Cadillac, which was also very exciting, considering the traffic in Puerto Rico. So all the way into the hotel, he was asking my grandmother about Reiki. "Tell me stories," he said. "Tell me all about Reiki." So my grandmother began to tell her stories, and I began to wonder what I had gotten myself into. The stories were totally unbelievable. I couldn't imagine that you could put your hands on someone and really make a difference. And what she was talking about was making a difference with MS, or making a difference with cancer, or making a difference with this person who was very depressed, or making a difference, just making a difference. So we get to the hotel, we settle in, and for the next week, I accompany her all over Puerto Rico, and I listen to these stories over and over again, and my window was tightly shut. I had no idea what she was talking about. And it seemed like that the people, though, that she was talking to, actually they were open, they understood what she was saying, and they accepted it. So that was my first clue. Then I began to teach with her in the classes, and I began to treat people. And when I began to have my own experience, it's like this window of understanding opened. Slowly, slowly, slowly. And what she was saying began to make sense. But it didn't really make sense until years later, after I had accumulated all of my experiences and understandings through my own practice. So one of the things that I learned in this very few years was that I was given a tool. I was given something that opened me up to a new way of being with the world, with myself. And as I began to learn about how that would affect me, how that affected other people, my whole world changed. Miracles were real. Things that were unbelievable became believable. Things that were unbelievable started happening to me. And I kept saying to myself, "I don't believe this. I don't believe this." And finally, one of my students said, "You know, you should really try just believing your own experiences, just accepting them." That was my next big lesson. That one of the things that I realized is that it's a very big challenge to simply accept who I am in this moment, to simply accept what happens to me, and to simply accept that this is what did happen, and not try to put it into a pattern, not try to explain it, not try to make sense out of it, and for sure, not try to protect myself from it. Experiences have been the gift of this practice for me. And I feel that this is true for my whole life. That's what's happened, is that it's really healed a part of my history where I wanted to change this part of my history, like changing my parents, every kid goes through that, or changing the place where I lived, or changing that my hair was straight, not curly. Finally, through the years, I have been able to accept more and more that I have the parents I had and I'm grateful. That I was born where I was born and I'm grateful. That I have the hair that I have and I'm grateful. And I have the life that I have because this is something that is coming to me to be my teacher. When I talk about Reiki, there are two things that I think about. There's Reiki the energy, which is translated from Japanese to English, universal life energy. This for me is the very essence. It's the source. It's just so. And there's no explanation for it. later on, I'm going to try to describe what it feels like to me. But in the moment, this for me is the part that took some doing. When my grandmother would talk about Reiki the energy, I thought it was just her imagination. I thought it was just fantasy. I thought that it was something I would never ever be able to relate to. Now, Reiki, the energy, has substance for me. I can feel it in a room when I go into a room. I can understand that this energy actually moves me and moves me to be in contact with certain people in certain times of my life, to not be in contact with certain people at certain times of my life, to have books fall off the shelf in front of me, books that I need to read at the moment. I think we all have had these kinds of experiences. Reiki, the energy, is not just for people who are Reiki students. Reiki, the energy, is for everyone because it is in everyone. It's in everything. The universal life energy is something for me that is imbued in everything that we see. And sometimes we feel like there's something that's not alive, like a rock, or that's not alive, like something very inert, like maybe a piece of metal. But Reiki is also in that, and that's what I've learned. And it allows me to have a deeper and more interesting relationship with all the world around me. When I talk about Reiki, I often am talking about the practice. When I first was learning from my grandmother, she was the person who brought Reiki from Japan and nurtured it in herself and in her students for many, many years, for decades actually. And when I was taught Reiki in through my childhood and also when I was initiated as a master in 1979, I realized that this was a very unique happening. That this practice had been formulated by a man by the name of Mikao Usui about 100 years ago. And he was a scholar. He searched and searched and searched in books, with other people, inside of himself. He meditated. He prepared himself spiritually. He did everything he possibly could because he had a burning question. And I feel like we all have burning questions, and that was what was really special about him, was that he was willing to give up his normal life. He was willing to give up his comforts, his physical comforts, his spiritual comfort, and go to a place where he could find a practice that met his needs, that answered his questions. It's almost time now for a station break, and we're going to have a little commercial, and then I'm going to come back and resume my conversation about the practice of Reiki, the form, and sometimes the deliverer of essence.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is Phyllis Furumoto. And as I was saying, Reiki, the practice, came from Japan about 100 years ago. This practice was formulated by a man by the name of Mikao Usui. He was following a dream, a burning question, as I would say. And in the end, he went to a mountain near Kyoto, sat for 21 days, fasted for this time, and at the very end of his fast, at the very end of his meditation, after many, many years of preparation, he was given a gift. The story of Mikao Usui is really wonderful. There are facts, there's story, perhaps there's mythology. But all of it carries a kind of energy of this man who was a normal man who had a burning question. He went and gave his life to find the answer to this question. Now, my question is, did he ever find the answer? I don't know if he would have said, yes, this is it. Perhaps when we're seekers, we continue to seek. One of the most wonderful sayings these days is, it's not the goal, it's the journey. And I feel that Mikao Usui was one of these kind of people. So whether he had found the goal or whether he was enjoying the journey, we will never know. But in this journey, he met a man by the name of Chijiro Hayashi. And Chijiro Hayashi was really looking himself for a way to treat people, to allow them to become whole. He had been a naval officer, a medical doctor, and had many, many years of experience in the battlefield. He was ready to stop repairing people, as he said, and start assisting people in regaining their health, their happiness, and their good life. He met Mikao Usui, and he was very taken by these teachings. Because he was a doctor, I guess, and very clinically minded, obviously, he began a Reiki clinic. And it was to this clinic that my grandmother, Hawaio Takata, when she was about 34, 35, came to this clinic and was treated. She was treated for several weeks, and in that time, began to really regain her health, which was quite damaged from much heartbreak, and much depression. So as she regained her health, she knew that she was going to go back to Hawaii, where she was living, and she wanted to take Reiki with her, and she asked to be a student. At first she was refused. Perhaps it was because the Japanese were very protective of their practices, and they wanted someone who was a student to stay in Japan and to be of Japan. Finally, after presenting to her future teacher a letter of recommendation, which is very, very important in the Japanese culture, and just saying, I give you everything I have, I will stay with you as long as you want, I want to learn Reiki. And eventually, Shijiro Hayashi said yes. And she stayed with him, lived with him, practiced every day in the clinic with him, and soon became a very practiced student of the system. She returned to Hawaii, and in the next decades became very well known for her healing hands. During her time of treatment, which she treated people right up until her death in 1980, she also taught, but her main practice was treating people. She was very clear about what she had to offer. She would say to people, you want your health? Then you come to me every day for 4 months. Or you come every day for 3 weeks. Or you come every day for 5 weeks and you stop eating sugar. She was very, very clear about what she needed and wanted people to commit to. I realize now, as I look back on my life, that when she would come to visit, a lot of the time would be spent in my mother, my grandmother, and I having very heated discussions. But I could see that probably she wanted to give me some of her practice, and I wasn't open to it because I didn't really know what it was about. It was not something that I could really relate to. I was raised in the middle of the United States, and though I'm fully Japanese, I'm very much an American, and I was raised in a very conservative town in a very conservative atmosphere. So when you were sick, you went to a doctor, you had medicine, it made you well or not. And that was something that the power of healing was in the doctor's hands. Now what I see is that doctors are my partner. The healing of my body is for me to do. Reiki gives me the possibility to allow my body, my spirit, to become whole, to become one. One of the things that's said in the Reiki story is that Mikao Usui went to an old abbot who was the head of the monastery in which he spent some time studying. And the abbot told him, in the early days, we cared for both the body and the spirit of every person. Now, we care for the spirit of people, and there are doctors who care for the body. This energy, Reiki, will allow you to care for and make people whole, body and spirit balanced. For me, this is where the title of this particular radio show comes from. Reiki, balancing form and essence. Reiki, balancing our physical and our spiritual selves. Reiki, balancing our life here on the earth and our understanding of life after the earth. So in these next weeks, we will be exploring many aspects of this practice. In the beginning, I would like to delve further and further into the many perspectives that people have on what is Reiki, the energy of Reiki, the essence of all life that we know. In some of the other programs, we're also going to be discussing how you can use Reiki in your daily life. What is its value? What happens when it just seems like nothing is happening? Which does happen a lot in this practice. People often say, "Oh, can I watch you do a Reiki treatment?" And I go, "Well, okay, but it might be a little boring." Because when I practice, I'm sitting with a person, we're in quiet, in stillness. Sometimes, if it's appropriate, we might put on a little quiet music. I sit, I place my hands on the person's body in a prescribed hands-on fashion, and my hands rest on the person, being very relaxed, and the energy flows through my hands and into the person. There is no movement of my hands except to change position. The treatment lasts for sometimes an hour. This is a formal treatment. And so sitting together for an hour seems like it might be really boring. However, I have been corrected. Many of my students say, "It's very interesting watching, because I'm not watching your physical movement. I'm watching or feeling the energetic movement of what's happening during the treatment. So for me, it's not boring." It's time for another commercial break. So I'll be back very shortly with the next portion of this program, Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
For Spirit of Film Conversations, this is Randall Barrow. Hello, Seventh Wave listeners. I hope you'll join me each week as I explore how movies are changing the way we think, live, and dream. Spirit of Film Conversations showcases today's independent and visionary filmmakers and their personal and artistic journey to bring their vision to the big screen, television, DVD, or streaming video on the internet. Spirit of Film Conversations is also for people who make movies, whether the established film professional or the aspiring filmmaker. My show also celebrates the motion picture's unique ability to affect us emotionally, intellectually, even spiritually. So if you want to hear the real behind-the-scenes story of the most amazing and visionary films being made today and find out how you can use movies to empower you in your everyday life, join me each week on Spirit of Film Conversations every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check out my website at spiritoffilm.net to find out more about the movies I talk about each week. And thanks for listening to Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change.
Reiki Magazine International has readers in over 40 countries worldwide. Reiki Magazine International is respectful and open towards every Reiki school or lineage.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with my radio program, Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. During the break, I was just asked if I could be a little bit more clear about what form and essence meant for me. And I was a little bit puzzled, even though I've practiced Reiki now as a master and consciously as a student for the last 27, 28 years. So, I guess I could just use a little piece of my own story. When I came to Reiki in 1979 as a master, I was very much in what I would call the relative world. My whole life had been spent in my comparing myself to other people, sometimes to other animals. Everybody won. I was always the underdog, as it were. People were smarter than I was. People were more beautiful than I was. People were at the right time, and I was always in the wrong time. So when I began to practice Reiki and do my self-treatments, treatment of others, and also teaching classes, I had the most amazing experiences, life-changing experiences, things that happened, some of them so small, so seemingly insignificant, that they blossomed into these amazing, amazing life-changing experiences. And as I began to have different experiences in my life, as I began to see my universe differently, physically, I began to change and to take care of my body, to understand that I wasn't here just to mark time, that there was a purpose to my being a human being. And I feel that one of the things that has been so beautiful for me in my own healing process, and I'll get back to the word healing, is that I was mostly form when Reiki found me. Even though my grandmother had it all through my life, even though I had practiced it as a child, Reiki found me when I was almost 31 and has changed my life, or I have found Reiki and I have changed my life. Perhaps it's a partnership, perhaps it's both. So anyway, in my very form-oriented world, everybody had a right answer. Everybody had a wrong answer. I was right or I was wrong. Now what I understand is that there really is no right and no wrong. There are things that I like. There are things that I don't like. There are things that cause me pain, and there are things that give me joy. But the truth, really, is only in my own eyes. I can just see what's happening for me. And as I grow more and more into this essential understanding of myself as a human being, I allow myself to have my own essence. I join with myself, not just body and spirit, not just having a body and then having thoughts or having emotions, because I don't believe or I don't feel that thoughts and emotions are really a part of the spiritual self. Somehow, I feel like they're a bridge from the physical to the spiritual. But spirit for me has to do with essential understanding, a kind of understanding I call the absolute universe. There's the relative universe, that's form. There's the absolute universe, that's essence. And it is this practice and the practice of all practices that we come into this balance of form and essence, of physical and spiritual. It is for me, after all these years, an understanding that this is the actual path of my life. This is my journey. This is my burning question, is to find my balance in each moment, my balance in each day, my balance in each year, my balance in lifetime. So when I speak of Reiki, balancing form and essence, it is in me, but I'm just a part of the greater picture. So if I balance in myself, then I'm also balancing the universe. And if the universe is balancing, it also supports my balance. In the next weeks, we will go deeper into this, into more detail, and find out how other Reiki students also find this balance in their lives. Some of the ups and downs stories that are challenging and also sometimes pretty frustrating. So we'll get to that in a few weeks. One of the things I'd like to do is to go back to what I would consider to be an essential question, and that is, what is Reiki? Universal life energy. For me, this energy is unlimited. In fact, even to say that it's unlimited puts a limitation on it. I don't feel that I can comprehend it with my mind. And at first, that was a challenge. In fact, it was not possible that I couldn't comprehend it with my mind, because I was a human being. And boy, because I was a human being and the master race, I was going to understand everything. And now I know that my mind can comprehend some things of my own world, but there's a whole universe outside of myself that is what I call the great mystery. And it is this mystery that allows me space to grow and to expand into whoever and whatever I want to be. This is not about will. For me, this is, well, for me, I have this little picture in my mind of each of us being seeds. Little seeds, individual seeds, unique seeds. And we are watered, we are nurtured by the sun, we are nurtured by food, by the love of our parents, by the love of people around us. We are nurtured. And as we grow, sometimes we're pruned a little bit too much. Sometimes we think we're daisies, but we're really orchids, and we can't understand why we're growing in the way that we are. And what happens for me in this practice consistently is that people start to accept who they are, who their essential self is, the nature, the very nature of the seed that was our unique individual being. And I see that in the Reiki community, we are flowering into our own unique beings and to our own unique wonderment. And this, for me, is so amazing. It's something that 30 years ago I would have found unbelievable. And now I see that it is the very nature of who we are. is to grow into what our natural selves really wants to be. Reiki is one of the paths that we can go and get to this point. There are many, many choices in this world. And I am really blessed to have been a part of this path and to have found the essence of Reiki, the energy of life in myself, in my practice, and in my world. I would like to take a few moments and read to you a little excerpt from my grandmother's first diary when she was first learning Reiki in Japan. This is something that I've always treasured, and every time I read it, I have a different feeling because I've had more experiences. This is from Hawaii Takata's early diary. I believe there exists one supreme being, the absolute infinite, a dynamic force that governs the world and the universe. It is an unseen spiritual power that vibrates and all other powers fade into insignificance beside it. So therefore, it is absolute. This power is unfathomable, immeasurable, and being a universal life force, it is incomprehensible to man. Yet every single living being is receiving its blessings daily, awake or asleep. I shall call it Reiki because I studied under that expression. Reiki is not electricity, nor radium, nor X-ray. It can penetrate thin layers of silk, linen, porcelain, or lead, wood or steel, because it comes from the Great Spirit, the Infinite. I imagine her sitting in a room in Japan after receiving these treatments, after being assisted back to her health by these treatments, in wonderment, in amazement. She was also opened. We have all been opened, those of us who practice. We're going to take a little break now, and I'll be back for the final segment of this program, Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki in relation to religion, other disciplines, the government, mainstream medicine, you'll find the information in articles that appear bi-monthly in Reiki Magazine International.
Sharings, experiences, and questions from all over the world.
Taking out a subscription is easy. Go to ReikiMagazine.com and click on subscribe. Find your agent in the country where you live and pay online or by check. Online payments can be safely made on a secured page.
ReikiMagazine.com.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, welcome back to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. This is Phyllis Furumoto. I had a question. What about people listening who are not Reiki students? How can this be useful? Well, it's a good question, and I'll start back with a little history. In 1970, when Hawaii Otakata came to the mainland and began teaching very often, she taught in the areas of Chicago, San Francisco, and eventually in the southern part of British Columbia. During this time, especially from California, there were three movements that were happening. One was a search for a way to care for our bodies that didn't necessarily go through the allopathic medicine route. And so there was a blossoming of bodywork, of herbology, of many things, and her hands-on healing without any structure and without any seemingly ill side effects was accepted into this movement with a great embrace. The next movement that was happening was the therapy movement. We were all into finding ourselves, trying to shrug off those things that society and our parents and whoever were our influencing factors around us as children. So group therapy was the big thing back then, and Reiki fit into this beautifully because as people began to treat themselves every day, as people began to accept their partnership with this energy called Reiki, their lives began to change, and they began to have insights about themselves. And sometimes it was much less painful, sometimes it seemed much more painful, but in the end, this application of Reiki really furthered this movement, and in each person, it really supplied a kind of comfort that wasn't possible any other way. And the third movement was of finding our spiritual roots. Many of this generation, including myself, were a little bit jaundiced and skeptical of Christianity and of the basic religions that had been around in our families for many, many decades, and sometimes millennia. So we were trying to find a way to our spirit, our spiritual selves, without much dogma and without efforting in some way. You know, not studying, not being a monk, not being a nun. So when Reiki came, it felt like Reiki gave us a way to connect with our spiritual selves and to have our own experience without having much influenced by another person. So Reiki met three really strong needs in the 1970s and 80s and into the 90s, and now, of course, we're into the 21st century. And Reiki, the practice, seems to be really going deeper and involving more people in a very different way than in the beginning. So in the 1970s, and 80s, when I began to teach, a lot of the time, people came out of curiosity. People came because their friends drugged them to a class, and they never practiced again. And for those of you who are listening, who are falling in this category, you know, you only have to, if you're curious now, you only have to put your hands on yourself and begin the conscious practice of Reiki. By this, I don't mean anything with your mind. What I mean is just the decision to practice every day for a half an hour. Put your hands on yourself. It doesn't matter what the positions are, because this is your own self-treatment. You can treat yourself any way you want to. Put your hands on a knee if your knees are hurting these days, because now instead of 40, you're now 60. So just put your hands where it aches. See what happens. But leave them there for some minutes, like 10 or 15 minutes at least. For those of you who have not taken Reiki at all, ever, in any form, because now, of course, there are many, many forms of this practice that are available to people. It fits everybody's needs. Then why would listening to this program be useful for you? Allow my talking about Reiki to expand into something that you love, that draws you close, that gives you a sense of your own spirit, that guides you into yourself. And whether this be another spiritual practice, whether this be walking, whether this be singing at the top of a hill on the in the sunrise, whatever that is, whatever that experience is that brings you to this place inside yourself, just apply the principles of what I'm saying to this experience and try to do this experience daily so that you have each day a little moment of time for yourself, a little moment of rest for your being, and a little moment of going inside without any kind of agenda. Because this is really what happens, for me anyway, when I do my self-treatment every day. I spend these moments in myself. I drift into a kind of sleep, but not really a sleep. And I am with myself and it grows into a place where I start from inside of myself and go out, rather than starting from the outside and coming back in. Should you be listening to this program and think this is a total Reiki commercial? Well, maybe on some level it is, but on another level it's not. For instance, if I were not drawn to the path of Reiki, if I were not drawn to going to a class because it's way too confusing or way strange, then, and I had fallen and broken my arm, and my next door neighbor had Reiki, I would go next door and get Reiki treatments every day for 2 or 3 weeks until the bone was healed. Why? Because Reiki is a wonderful way to connect with the healing properties of the self, of the body. And you don't have to have been initiated or be a Reiki student to benefit from the treatments. This is the really great news. And the other great news is that there are many Reiki students everywhere. So just start asking around and see if Reiki can become a part of your life in other ways. It seems that this is the end of my time. If you feel that these segments of the program have a little bit of a different feel, I just want you to know that you're right on. I travel a lot, and so I've pre-recorded these programs, and it's not possible for you to call in and make comments or ask questions in the moment. But you can ask questions or mail in your comments to our website and the email that's on the website, which is usuireiki@mac.com. And you'll see this on the banner for my program. I will be using some of the questions in the next Reiki programs. And the next one is going to be involving a man by the name of Fokker Brink, who is a Dutch master. He now lives in the very, very south part of Greece and has a beautiful center there. And he got involved in the Reiki Kanji, which is the Japanese characters. And he'll be talking about his experience of the Japanese characters that say Reiki in Japanese and what that brought to him as far as knowing what the energy of Reiki is for him. Okay, until next week, this is Phyllis Furumoto, Reiki, balancing form and essence. Have a wonderful week. Pay attention. Have moments of peace. Goodbye.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.